Hey, what's up, folks? Welcome to another edition of Football Theory. I'm Lifetime Longhorn Rod Babers, joined by the coach, former high school football coach at Burnett, Brownwood, Belton, Rotan, also Capel. Can't forget about that one. I can't list all of them. I forget sometimes, coach. Also, a former college football player at Abilene Christian, also coached there for multiple stints. Also was on the staff at the University of Texas on five different occasions in multiple roles and responsibilities. The man has got a resume that is lengthy. He is well accomplished. He also is a damn good football coach. And also, he is one of the creators of ShipleyRanches.com, and you'll see it right here.
Hey,
ShipleyRanches.com. Represent, baby. Hey, you ain't gonna tell me twice, coach. Yeah, that's Coach Bob Shipley. What's going on, coach? How you doing?
I like it. I'm doing great. How you doing?
I'm doing good, coach, man. I appreciate you joining me as always. Before we get started, let's thank our fantastic sponsor. As always, Football Theory is brought to you by accomplished Austin realtor Laura Baker. Laura and the Andy Allen team at Keller Williams can handle all of your real estate needs in the Austin area. Laura is not only a diehard Longhorn fan, but a longtime Austin real estate expert. So give her a shout at 512-784-0505. That's 512-784-0505. If you have any questions, concerns, or needs in regards or related to real estate in the Austin area. So thank you to Laura Baker. We appreciate her support. All right, coach, three questions basically I want to get into today. Coach Sark spoke down. He spoke down in H-Town. The touchdown club. So he spoke to a lot of Longhorn fans, a lot of buzz, of course, about the Longhorns this season, first season in the SEC. He talked about that, but he also got into a couple of things. He said he's not concerned about the secondary, and his confidence and optimism, maybe it gives me a lot of optimism. So maybe I should be concerned less about the secondary because Sark is not concerned about it. So we'll read those quotes from Sark and actually discuss, you know, whether we should be concerned about the secondary, because Sark seems to have more confidence in that group than we do. We'll also get into, of course, we got to talk a little draft. I want to ask you, coach, out of all the guys that were drafted, 11 of them, a record for the modern day draft for the University of Texas, which one of them has the best fit with their new team, the most ideal fit with their team, who has the best chance to prosper early in the situation they're in. But 11 guys drafted, so congrats to all those guys. So we'll talk about that. And also, I want to get into Sark talks about how he doesn't like things to get stale. Something else he also mentioned down there in Houston with the Touchdown Club, said he always likes to add things to the offense. He likes to add new wrinkles all the time. We'll talk about what that could be, what we could see, what could be something new that we could see from Steve Sarkisian coming up in 2024. So all of those things, topics. I don't want to waste any time, Coach. So let's dive right into it. Let's talk about the first. Let's go kind of past, present, and then future. The past for these the 2023 season was a great season for Texas, 12-2, and that on-field success led to individual accolades, as Sark always said, with 11 guys being drafted. In your opinion, out of the 11 guys that were drafted, which one of those guys is in the best situation, the perfect fit for their team, ideally?
Yeah, well, I'm going to be Mr. Obvious here. Xavier Worthy with the Chiefs was very well thought out. It was planned very well by everybody involved. You called it, a week before it happened. They went and drafted him in the first round with a specific purpose in mind, and that is to utilize his speed. They know he's not Tyreek Hill, but they do know that he ran the fastest combine 40 in history. So I think there's some good fits. I think he's the best fit.
Yeah. I do. I think he's I don't know if there's a better fit for any player in the draft than Xavier Worthy with the Kansas City Chiefs. I mean you can go defense, offense, rounds 1-7. I'm not sure if there's a better fit in the 2024 draft for any player and team than Xavier Worthy and the Chiefs, and they traded up and got him, which I knew somebody would trade for him. As a Texans fan, I was hoping that it would not be the Kansas City Chiefs because my Texans got to deal with that. But this is why it's ideal. I've got a couple of stats for you that are actually mind-blowing. Shows you how great Patrick Mahomes is as a quarterback. in 2019, this is when they have Tyreek Hill, the average length of a Patrick Mahomes touchdown is 17 yards. In 2023, that number dropped down to 3.9 yards, the average length of a Patrick Mahomes touchdown. In the last 2 years, he's only thrown a total of two touchdowns that have been 20-plus yards in the air. That offense is not a vertical offense anymore. They actually are an offense that works in the short to intermediate game. That's where Travis Kelce makes all of his money. His average depth of target in 2023 was around 6.9 yards. They don't throw the ball deep anymore because they don't have a good core of receivers, but they don't have that vertical threat like Tyreek Hill that can stretch the defense, take the top off of defense. When you add in Xavier Worthy and his just play breaking ability and speed, that is going now. He's definitely not Tyreek Hill. They're very different athletes. And you talk about that, Coach. They're very different athletes, but still they can accomplish the same goal, which is to take defense, force the defense to respect the verticality, the vertical passing game. And that's what Brown run a 4-2-7, and that's what Xavier Worthy run a 4-2-flat, that both of those guys are going to be able to force teams to respect the vertical passing game, safeties deep, and then who's going to cover Kelce underneath? All right, who's going to cut? Because usually the safety is going to help you out there, roll coverage. That's going to make the job of Kelce a lot easier. And then the chemistry between Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce, which we all know has made him the best tight end in NFL history, potentially, at least pass catching, that's going to be even more of an advantage. And I think when you get Patrick Mahomes' sack avoidance, you add the sack avoidance, which he's the best in the NFL at, with the speed of Xavier Worthy on the outside, that means DBs like myself would have to cover that guy for more than 5 seconds, Coach. And you know, that's nightmare fuel. So I think it is it's a lethal combination, potentially, Coach. Lethal.
Yeah. Well, the only person happier than Patrick Mahomes is probably Travis Kelce, because he finally got somebody to spread the defense, you know, vertically, to give him more room inside. You know, there's that's the one piece of the puzzle that they haven't had. And I think maybe if they didn't lead the league, they were dang close to leading the league in drop passes in 23, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. Yep. So, Travis Kelce has to be the happiest guy if you know, between him and Mahomes who was the happiest to see Xavier come in. Because you've got two great deep vertical threats now. Then you've got to – I don't know how you do it. How do you cover that? You know, then you've got Travis Kelce underneath and all the open spaces that the vertical routes create. It seems like the Chiefs are well on – you know, obviously thought this through and knew that that's what they had to have offensively.
Yeah, I mean, that'll be that's a hell of a turnaround, because arguably, like you're right, Coach, they might have had the worst receiving corps in the NFL last year, still won the Super Bowl. Now you're going to add Xavier Worthy to that. Hollywood Brown's going to be added to the mix. That is a dangerous combo. So, yeah, I'm with you. Another one, I think JT Sanders is also a good mix with the Carolina Panthers. I see him starting with that group in about 2-3 years. I think that's a really good mix there. Hell, honestly, him and Jonathan Brooks are both to be starting for the Panthers, in my opinion, in about 2-3 years. Because that's where you find tight ends. You find them there in the middle rounds. I think Travis Kelce was a third-round pick. I believe Mark Andrews was a third-round pick. George Kittle was a fifth-round pick. That's where usually you find your tight ends. And I know people think that JT Sanders' stock dropped, and it did. But usually a lot of your best tight ends in the NFL right there in those middle rounds. JT Sanders would be just fine in terms of him just being a pro if he applies himself. But I like that fit with him with the Carolina Panthers. Okay, let's move on. Another question I have here for you, Coach, because I'll read these comments, sorry, at the Touchdown Club down in Houston, because Longhorn fans, after watching the spring game, they don't have a lot of concerns, but the secondary is one of them after watching the secondary get exposed. Coming off of last season, where your secondary was a weakness and a liability, Longhorn fans are about what derailed this championship run. And they're looking at, and in the past, is something that derailed the run for Texas. So when the secondary was concerned about it, he said, I saw Kelvin Banks get beat too. He's going to be just fine. We're going to be fine at cornerback. He said, our defensive backfield is probably the most versatile as we've had in my time here. Probably the most talented defensive backfield that we've had in our time here. And he went on to say that basically he believes they're going to be just fine. He said, we're going to be just fine in the secondary. I think we've got a lot of versatility back there. And remember, well, after the spring game, Sark did not have a concern about the secondary coach. He brought up the interior D-line and said, we need more big humans. So multiple occasions where everybody else has been concerned about the secondary, Sark is not as concerned. Does that give you confidence in the secondary? Should he be more concerned? Is the question I guess I have.
Yeah, well, yeah, I got a couple of things there. One is if there is so much versatility back there, then that comes down to coaching, you know, and that's an indictment on the coaching staff, in my opinion. If it's the most versatile group they've had since they've been there, yet the results are near the bottom of when they've been there, something's not adding up. I will say this. I will give him credit in that if he went in and started bashing his secondary, now that's going to be a target that is going to be very obvious for everybody in the country to look at and see. Even the coach is concerned about the secondary. I think him going to bat for his secondary is probably a good thing for and plus he knows things that you and I don't know and the average fan doesn't know about coverages. Maybe they were restricted to. Maybe they didn't want to show some coverages that they've been working on in the spring in the game. Maybe they threw some new routes, which I didn't see anything in there that looked really difficult to defend. So I'm not really sure where he's getting that from, but I will say that I would much rather him say that than say, hey guys, SOS, we got a big problem here. We're sending up the white flag, you know? He's not going to say that. I do think they're talented. I do think there's a lot of versatility in that players can move from position to position, but he's going to have to back that up come next fall. Because if our secondary falls flat on their face the first half of the season, people will remember his comments that he made down in Houston, and they'll play those and say, Coach, should you have been more concerned about your secondary? Because it makes it seem like when he says that they don't have a lot to work on with those guys. The average layperson will interpret that as going, it's okay. We got it. You know, I can assure you that's not what's going on behind the scenes. They don't want that. They do not want that reputation. Yeah. They do not want people to think that our secondary is the most obvious weak spot on the team. So they will be making every effort behind the scenes to get that taken care of and shored up without Sark causing panic across the team and across the conference, saying that our secondary is very suspect.
Could it be that he's so confident, because he's actually remarked a few times, even after the spring game and also at the Touchdown Club in Houston, about the edges and how strong they are and how they're going to be a problem for opponents. He remarked that Trey Moore is once again going to be a problem for opponents because of his pass rushing ability. Could it be that he believes the edges are going to be that impactful and formidable that when teams are in must pass, predictable passing situations, it won't be like last season. There'll be collapse of that pocket from both sides. Is that at all? Maybe that's the reason he's confident that the complementary element of his defense will help that secondary because of the pass rush.
It's possible, but why didn't we see that in the spring game? You know, we saw a little bit, but we didn't really see the edge dominating on pass rush like we anticipated them to.
That's true. That's a good point. You didn't see. We saw some of it, but they still were able to get deep shots downfield. Yeah, I'll admit, I think you're right, Coach. He probably is concerned behind the scenes. And Sark's not going to say that because he wants to project confidence, especially at an event we're speaking publicly. Yeah. He knows everything's going to go viral. He's been here long enough to know everything he says at Texas. We dive deep into it. We cycle in. I think at first he didn't know that. I didn't coach at first. He would say things. He's like, damn, they really took that and ran with it. It's like, yeah, Coach, we're going to take it and run with it. That's what we do. So I think now he's a lot more careful about that kind of stuff. And I would just say this. The only thing that concerns me, because Sark, he's earned our trust. If Sark says it, honestly, I'll give him the benefit of the doubt because he has earned our trust. He's done an amazing job here at Texas. I'm more concerned, and I will continue to be, because to me, there was the same issues that I watched last season that I documented on all these damn notes here that I saw in the spring game. I just saw flashbacks. To me, it was just flashbacks for me. The deep ball. Texas last year allowed Power Five starting quarterbacks. And that's why I took out the sample size of all your backup quarterbacks and those guys. No, we're talking about Power Five starting quarterbacks, baby. Going to the SEC, big boy football. Texas allowed opponents to complete 42% of their deep balls, 20 yards or more, last season against Power Five starting quarterbacks. And what did Michael Penix have? And that wasn't, like I said, I didn't even include Penix in that. Michael Penix was 6 of 8 on passes 20 yards or more, 7 of 11 on passes 15 yards or more down the field. And in the spring game, what did I see on the deep ball? I saw 5 of 11, the 45% completion on deep balls. So I was like, well, that was something I heard of last year, and I was looking for, signs of improvement. Inside breaking routes. Last year, Texas allowed Power Five starting quarterbacks to complete 63% of the inside breaking routes, 9.5 yards per attempt, 5 touchdowns, 21% explosive play rate. They did throw 3 interceptions. That's good. In the spring game, though, something very similar. You're at 9.9 yards per attempt on inside breaking routes. On money downs, by the way, that's third and fourth down, they converted over 70% of their money downs in the spring game when they were targeting inside breaking routes. In the regular season, that number was 53%. It was the same being able to pass off receivers with switch releases who are in closely clustered groups, bunch formations, however you want to describe it. The Ryan Wingo touchdown, the first DeAndre Moore big touchdown, that was basically the same thing that they had last year. They really couldn't do last year when they were basically defending bunch formations last year versus bunch, 81% completion percentage over 11 yards per attempt. And saw it again in this ring game. So my concern is that the same issues that they had, like if it was a different issues, I wouldn't even be concerned because every team's going to have issues every year. The whole point is where you start is not where you finish. You get better every year. Coaches solve problems. That's what coaches are. That's what they're hired to do. They figure out, all right, what I have to work with. All right. You know, this is what we can achieve. This is what this is where we need to grow. And this is how we're going to do it. You put together a plan, you execute it. So I wouldn't be concerned if it was a different issues, but they're the same issues. They're exactly the same. And it's just a spring game. So also shouldn't panic there. It's just a spring game. But like I said, the spring game to me, flashbacks of last season, it looked exactly the same as 2023, mm-hmm. secondary wise. So that would be the only concerning thing. But I trust Sark. Trust in Sark. Make a t-shirt. Trust in Sark.
Well, we have to. We have to trust in him. But, and we have to realize, as you said, and I was mentioning earlier, you know, there's some political talk in there. He's going to back his guys, but I promise you behind the scenes, they're pulling hair out. I mean, they are trying to solve that problem. I promise you. And he's just gambling and hoping that they'll get those things worked out. And it may be because of more pressure from the edge. I mean, it may be stuff that he didn't show in the spring, because they're going to hang on to it, you know, until, we play Georgia or whatever the situation is this next fall.
Yeah.
So, you know, take it with a grain of salt. But I would be more concerned if he came out and threw his secondary under the bus.
Yeah, don't do that. Don't do that. You know, don't do that. But usually Sark, I would say Sark is pretty forthcoming at media availability. That's what I love about Sark's media availabilities and press conferences. He gives you some meat. Listen, when they asked him about the guys who were overweight, remember about Savion Red and Black, she was like, yeah, we didn't know. That's not what we planned. Nope, those guys came in overweight. Sark usually will give you something, but you're right. I think he was just trying to walk the line there. Definitely not going to throw his secondary under the bus. I don't want to throw him under the bus either. I'm a member of DBU, but like I said, those guys have a lot of work to do in the secondary. They got the guys to do it. They do have the pieces to get it done. All right, last question here before we wrap things up here on Football Theory. Sark also mentioned at the Touchdown Club in Houston when talking to Longhorn fans, he said, I try not to get stale and mentioned that he likes it. He's talked about this before, that he studies the best offensive minds in football, studies a lot of the NFL coaches, the Mike Shanahan tree of coaches. He's a big fan of those guys, studies Andy Reid. He studies the top minds in the game and always, tries to steal. And he's admitted that he steals concepts, adds little wrinkles to his offense each year. And I can see it, by the way. I mean, I think in the first year here, we saw the pony package. The second year, we saw the 6-0 line package. I mean, every year he does add something. The cheat motion last year, used that a lot. I'm trying to see what he could use or what he could use more of this season as an added wrinkle. I don't think we've seen enough of it. And I think now with a third year veteran quarterback in Quinn Ewers and with this depth of wide receiver talent now that you have, and honestly, and Jaden Blue and Amari Nyeblack kind of put them in this category too now as weapons you could utilize with this concept. My guess is going to be empty formation. In the spring game, we saw it six times, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, six reps. And by the way, it wasn't Quinn Ewers because Quinn only played two series, but it was six reps for Trey Owens and for Arch. You had two explosive plays out of it, which gives you a really high explosive play rate. You're talking about close to 33%. And in the game versus Washington, Texas ran empty six plays. Now, they did get sacked in one of those plays, but 80% completion percentage, coach, out of your empty formation. You ran six plays and got three explosive plays out of it.
Yeah.
So you had a 50% explosive play rate essentially out of it, out of running empty formation versus Washington. They did it in the year before, too. It may just work well against Washington. They did it in the Alamo Bowl. They ran it 10 plays. They did take a sack because Quinn, for some reason, he takes sacks out of empty where you're not supposed to. You're supposed to get rid of the ball quickly. But he did have a 12-yard run. But he had 87% completion percentage. He was better. The last three games of the regular season, and I said, you go look at the last three games of the regular season, he was much better out of empty formation. He was a 71% completion percentage. He averaged over 12 yards per attempt, 10 yards per play, and a 31% explosive play rate. If I'm sorry, with the weapons you got, Jaden Blue and all those receivers, you can, and Amari Nyeblack, spread teams out and really expose matchup advantages that way. If I'm guessing about a concept we're going to see more of, because that's in the NFL, it's more common than it is in college, because your quarterback is going to run the show for you. Sark can do it because Sark runs a pro-style offense anyway.
Yeah. Do you think Jaden Blue is a guy that fits into that scheme package? Because you make yourself vulnerable when you pull out your running back and you put in five wideouts, you make yourself vulnerable protection-wise. And I think that's one thing that, has hurt us in the past. But I think when you can break the huddle, at least, in 10 personnel, and then shift Jaden out, into a wideout spot, you're certainly going to help yourself. But I like the empty package, especially with all the threats that we have at receiver.
Yep.
It enables you to put in, more receivers, but I'm not so sure I don't like, a four wide receiver package better and leaving a running back in for protection, just because it's unless when you motion him out, what kind of coverage you're going to get. If somebody has a default coverage, whenever you empty the backfield out with motion, most teams have a check coverage that they go to. And if you know what that is in advance, mm-hmm. that's a huge advantage. It may kind of depend on that. If somebody has a simple adjustment, then you can say, okay, I can play chess with that. We can still make it happen. We have to get rid of the ball quick. But I like that package with our receivers because, again, the problem is going to be you've got – a ton of playmakers, is there enough balls to go around?
Yeah. It's something that Sark hasn't used a ton of, but I don't know. This year it seems like it would fit this team. especially with a guy like Jaden Blue and Amari Nye Black and those kinds of weapons. No good stuff there. All right, before we get out of here, let's once again thank our fantastic sponsor. We appreciate Laura Baker, Football Theory, brought to you by accomplished Austin Realtor Laura Baker and the Andy Allen team at Keller Williams. They can handle all of your real estate needs in the Austin area. Laura is not only a diehard Longhorn fan, but a longtime Austin real estate expert. So please give her a shout today. 512-784-0505. That's 512-784-0505. If you have any concerns, you have any questions, if you have any needs regarding or in relation to real estate in the Austin area, please give Laura Baker and her team a call. All right, Coach, thank you very much for the wisdom. Appreciate it. All the time I leave here as a smarter football fan and a smarter football theorist. So thank you, brother, and I appreciate you, and have a great weekend.
All right. All right. And don't forget, you can always join us on the Winning Drive Monday, Thursday evenings, 4:15 to around 5:30 or whenever we feel like shutting it down.
Pretty much. That's exactly it. Yeah. We don't even have a set time. He's like, whenever we feel like shutting it down. So yeah, basically, whenever we're getting it.
And you never know what's going to happen in that show. You never know what's going to happen.
As a matter of fact, yeah, I got something fun planned for the next Winning Drive, actually. I got something fun for it. That's the only criteria for the Winning Drive. We got to have some fun.
That's right.
All right, Coach. Appreciate your time. Until next time, folks, for Laura Baker, for the All in Texas Football family, for Coach Bob Shipley, and for myself, hook 'em.